Which today is the last day I'll be giving my homily in two parts, as next week is already Palm Sunday. And so for this part one, I'm going to speak about blessings and what exactly happens when a blessing is bestowed. Because many of you will come to me asking me to bless our religious articles, bless yourselves even. At every Mass, we end with a blessing to everyone here. But first, before that, though, I want to look at who actually has the ability to bless. Now, the good news is that all of us actually, in fact, have the capacity to bless in certain circumstances. And this is because of our baptism. At our baptism, each one of us is brought into the life of Christ as a priest, a prophet, and a king. And so all of us have this baptismal priesthood. Now, the priesthood I have received at ordination is an elevation of that priesthood, but all of us share in the common priesthood of Christ given in baptism. And so there's even a book called Catholic Household Blessings and Prayers, which contain blessings that those who have been baptized can bless things. And so it may be worth looking into. But every blessing, though, because of that, is based on authority. For one cannot bless something unless they have the authority to do so. In some ways, it's kind of like a police officer. If I walked up to someone and said, "You're under arrest," nothing would happen, except they'd probably just laugh at me. But an officer, since he has the authority to arrest, when he says, "You're under arrest," it actually happens. You become under arrest. It's the same as blessings. For a blessing to actually occur, authority has to be present to do so. And so if there's no authority, there's no blessing. So, for example, parents who are here, you have the authority over your children. And so you, in fact, can offer a true blessing upon your children. As a parent, you have the authority to bless your children, and it is a real blessing. We hear that many times in scriptures. We hear the parent bestowing a blessing upon their child. It's one of the reasons that priests are called father. For it's a reflection of the priest's authority to bless everyone as their spiritual child. Now that said, what in fact does a blessing actually do then? And the blessing does many things, but the basics of what a blessing does is found in this notion called setting apart. That a blessing, it takes something and sets it apart for a special purpose. So, for example, when you bring to me a medal, rosary, or some religious article to bless, what is happening is that those things, which at first are just materials of metal, beads, and paint, are now set apart for two purposes. One, to give glory to God, and the second, to help us become holy. So after a blessing, these items are no longer just things. They are set apart for that purpose, the glorification of God and sanctification of the world. Now, this becomes especially profound when a person becomes blessed, and we apply that to us individually, like we do at every Mass. Meaning that when we are blessed, we also are set apart for those two purposes, to give glory to God and to make the world holy. And what a beautiful thought that is, that we are walking around as blessed people. People set apart. It's something that we can be proud of, that we have been set apart to give glory to God by our life and to bring a little bit of holiness into the lives of those that we encounter. And so whenever we receive a blessing, it can be a reminder of that state of us being set apart to do those things. Okay, that's part one. Part two. We hear this powerful miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead today, which really is a perfect reading to have, as we celebrate this last Sunday in Lent, before starting Holy Week with Palm Sunday next week. For we are given a foretaste of Christ's promise of resurrection, that we see today that it is not only Jesus who rises from the dead, but by raising Lazarus, he shows us that the resurrection is for all of us, not just him. Yet the gospel ends with another lesson about the resurrection for us, which I think is often, but understandably, overshadowed by this incredible miracle of Lazarus being brought back to life. For we see that there are two moments that Jesus, almost two different kinds of resurrection that Jesus brings to Lazarus. And the first one is the obvious one, that he literally brings him back to life. But the second one occurs at the very end, when we hear, the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in the cloth. So Jesus said to them, untie him and let him go. This is a powerful moment, and in fact, an almost second resurrection for Lazarus. Because though Lazarus is alive when he walks out of the tomb, he is still bound by death. He's tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his cloth is wrapped in a cloth, or his head is wrapped in a cloth. And so Lazarus initially comes out of the tomb alive, but in some sense, he comes out more like the walking dead. And so Christ, by commanding that Lazarus be untied, shows that he does not only want to save us from death itself, but even the bonds of death while we live. For we too at times can feel like Lazarus after that first resurrection. That yes, we are alive, but sometimes don't we feel as if we are also walking dead? That outwardly we have life, but in our hearts we feel dead inside, bound hand and foot. And this binding makes it difficult to even live life. It's this death of the spirit, in a sense. And this shows that this is not the life that Christ desires for us or promises to us, that this is not the life of resurrection. He promises not only life and no death, but fullness of life, even from the very bonds of death. He wants to untie and let us go free from the bonds of death that we walk with, so we can be fully alive in body and in spirit. And this is the true miracle that we hear about today, the miracle of the resurrection, which is promised to each one of us. And Lazarus received this new life before Jesus' own resurrection, showing us that we don't have to wait for that resurrection either, that we can have this life here and now. If we only allow Christ to call us out of our tombs that we stay in at times, allow him to untie us, and allow him to let us go of all the things in our life we feel are making us dead inside.